Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Now that the Missouri primary is over, candidates are preparing for the final stretch run. Some political observers are a little surprised that author and former Navy SEAL Eric Greitens won the GOP gubernatorial primary. He has not held political office before. Our political team, Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum, recently sat down with Greitens, and Joe asked the candidate what he thought was the key reason for his primary win.
I think the key reason why we won the primary is that we took our case to the people of Missouri. You know, over the course of the end of June and July, we did over 150 town hall events all over the state of Missouri. I'd talk for a while, and then we gave people a chance to ask any question that they had. And I think that's why we saw so much intense support for us, was that people really got a chance to know us. And that's exactly what we're going to do in the general election. We're going to make our case to the people, go to the people of the state of Missouri, because this is a really important election for us.
Now, what do you see as the key issue right now?
Look, I think that the contrast in this election is incredibly clear. Look, I'm a Navy SEAL. I did four tours overseas. When I came back home from Iraq, I donated my combat pay and served as the founder and CEO of The Mission Continues, an organization that's now helping over 8,000 veterans around the country come back home and continue their service and get quality jobs. I'm a husband and father. And I'm running against Chris Koster. Chris Koster is a corrupt career politician who's been in office for over 20 years. He is a big spending liberal like Hillary Clinton. I mean, this guy spent over $3.2 million to redecorate his office. No. Right. This is a guy who the New York Times reported that Chris Koster, when he was investigating companies, he'd take donations from their law firms and from those companies. And then when he was supposed to be fighting for the people of Missouri, he would drop the investigation or settle the case. And when he was caught doing this, he promised that he'd put in place a new ethics policy. But it turned out that he lied about that also. And, you know, a state audit 1 year later found that he actually hadn't changed anything. So we know that there's a really clear contrast in this race. And if people are happy with the status quo, they're happy with what they've seen at Ferguson and the University of Missouri and us being 47th in economic growth, they can work with Chris Koster. But if people want to take the state in a new direction, I'm ready to work with them to do that.
I got to ask this as a devil's advocate question, because, you know, when you get out of law school, you have a lot of options, especially in the private sector. And I think that maybe Koster would say, well, he raised the pay for his staff and he made the offices nicer to attract better talent to the attorney general's office. What would you have to say to that argument?
You know, I would say, Jason, we attracted an incredible amount of talent in the United States military. And we did that. And sometimes our office was a general purpose tent. When it got really fancy in places like Fallujah, we had a trailer. Okay. What attracts people to a mission, is having a clear mission where they know that they can be of service. We've had so many volunteers who've come out, who've put in so many hours of sweat into this campaign, and we haven't paid them a penny, Jason. Mm-hmm. But they're doing this because they believe in the mission that this campaign represents.
Now, they say that regardless of what your military background, which they honor, is that they say you know absolutely nothing about state government. In fact, I was just told that you've talked about ISIS more than you've talked about specific things in state government, and that you don't really have a grasp on what the governor's role is in state government, how to actually budget for state government. I'm just laying out what their contentions are. How do you respond to that?
Look, I think we should talk in great detail over the course of this interview about what I'm going to do as governor, and I'm absolutely excited to do that. What's really clear, look, if you want, though, Chris Koster's claiming he's got all of this experience as a politician. Where did it get us? It got us Ferguson. Chris failed at Ferguson. Chris failed at the University of Missouri. We've got now, you look at Chris's experience, he says, well, I'm an attorney general. He's the chief law enforcement officer of the state. Over the course of Chris's tenure, murders are up 30% in the state of Missouri. Rapes are up 60%. Those aren't just statistics. Those are real people whose lives have been lost. Those are people whose lives have been damaged, and Chris Koster is responsible for that.
Now, I've heard not only from you, but from other Republican candidates that Chris Koster was somehow absent or ran away from Ferguson or failed during Ferguson. So I asked Chris Koster to respond to that contention because in the follow-up question that we'll have after this, we'll provide more context.
Sure.
I was in town on Saturday when the incident occurred. I was on the phone Sunday night, as quickly as Sunday night, with the head of the Highway Patrol and the head of the Department of Public Safety. I was back in Jefferson City Monday and Tuesday. My recollection is that the state fair was going that week, and my schedule was supposed to take me to the state fair on Wednesday. We collapsed the schedule, came back to St. Louis on Wednesday, which is, as Joe Patterson will recall in even more detail than I, the night that after Sunday night, the night things really started to get crazy. I was the first statewide elected official at the command center. I was the first statewide elected official down at the line. I was the first statewide elected official to cross the line and to interact with members of the community. I was there in the mornings helping clean up. There's photography out there of me cleaning up the glass at the Chinese food restaurant, is my recollection. I was the first statewide elected official on the street after nightfall. I held meetings in schools, meetings with elected officials, meetings with the ministerial community, and was there nearly every day throughout the period of the unrest. I don't recall seeing my opponent there. I know that I was there, and I know that thousands of people saw me there.
So that was a long clip, but I wanted to make sure it was in context because I have heard, not only from you, but from other Republicans say that Koster was somehow absent or wasn't in Ferguson during the unrest. Joe and I covered Ferguson pretty extensively, and we actually have written about how he was in Ferguson during the biggest time there. So can you accurately say that he ran and hide during the Ferguson unrest with those facts on the table?
Leadership's about making a difference. Chris Koster's talking about people who he called on the phone. He's talking about people who he visited. Leadership's about making a difference. Chris Koster wasn't there to make a difference. There were people who were hurting, people who needed to be heard. You need to go to the front lines and make a difference. There were police officers who wanted a plan for peace, and there was no plan for peace. Look, what you didn't hear from Chris Koster was, "I'm responsible." That's what leaders do. When things go wrong, you say, "I am responsible." He's the chief law enforcement officer of the state. What a leader does, not this, you know, Chris Koster, "Well, I recall, if my recollection is right, I might have called somebody." Look, how were you responsible? What did you do to make a difference in Ferguson? And the fact is, Ferguson was a law enforcement failure. And there's Chris Koster's failure, is his failure as the chief law enforcement officer, who should have been supporting our police on the ground, who should have been out talking with people who were protesting. There was so much confusion. There was so much anger that was out there. Chris needs to make a difference. And I just think, you know, it's so sad. You listen to him try and explain this away, but the facts are we're all having to live with the consequences of Chris's failure. You know, I mentioned over his tenure, how is he going to explain away the fact that murders are up 30%? Is he going to try and explain away the fact that rapes are up 60%? How is he going to explain that right here in St. Louis, we are now the per capita murder, aggravated assault, rape, and armed robbery capital of the country? That we've got rates of violent crime triple the national average in Springfield and in Kansas City. And you talk to career law enforcement officers around the state, and they will tell you that the profession of law enforcement they feel is at the lowest point that they've seen in their lives. Those are the things that Chris is responsible for. And what leaders need to do is to step forward and say, "I am responsible."
Now, were you there in Ferguson?
I did go out to Ferguson.
When?
And I went out to Ferguson. I'd have to check the exact date that I went out, but I remember I called my buddy Harlan, and I've known Harlan since I was 15 years old.
Continue.
Yeah, yeah. And Harlan and I went out there. And we saw what was there. And not only did we go out there, but look, in my capacity at the time, I wasn't the chief law enforcement officer or the governor. But one of the things that the Mission Continues did was we brought together hundreds of volunteers, and we later did a project for the Ferguson-Florissant School District to make a difference, to bring people together to serve. And when you look at somebody who's in a position of responsibility, like an attorney general or a governor, they need to go out and actually make a difference on the ground.
Now, as governor, what specifically would you do? You've talked about creating jobs, or you've talked about zero-based budgeting, but specifically, how would you do all that? And of course, the backdrop is, as I said, Koster says you know nothing.
Well, look, let's talk in great detail. Here's what we need to do. I'll tell you my priorities in government, and then we can talk in great detail about all of them. First of all, we've got to end the culture of corruption in Jefferson City. We do that by banning all gifts from lobbyists, by closing the revolving door between legislators and special interests, and also by insisting on term limits for every statewide office holder. That's what we do legislatively. But again, as a leader, you also have to set an example. I said on the very first day of my campaign that I will never, not for months or years, but for the rest of my life, I will never engage in lobbying. You have to set an example. Second, what we have to do is we've got to turn this economy around. You know, with Chris Koster as our attorney general, we're now 47th in economic growth. Now, that is a statistic, but what that means at a very practical level is that as I was traveling the state, we're meeting with thousands of people who are out of work. Businesses are leaving Missouri. People who are lucky enough to have a job often aren't seeing a raise for 6 or 7 years. So a couple of very specific things that we need to do to turn the economy around. And again, I approach this as somebody who started my own business and worked with veterans, helped them come home to start and successfully run their own businesses. We have to sign right to work. Missouri needs to become a right to work state. Another thing that we need to do is that we need to cut back on regulations. We also need to change the Missouri's litigation environment. You know, Missouri was described as the fourth worst. Somebody called it a judicial hellhole. That makes it much harder for people to do business to do business here. We also, in Missouri, we have to, as we could talk in detail about what we want to do to address this public safety crisis, but it begins with having a leader who's going to make sure that our police officers know that they have a leader who's going to support them, who's going to have their back. The profession of policing, and I've done this work, I've been on the streets with our police officers in Missouri and other police officers around the country. The profession of policing is built on the willingness of every police officer every night to make dozens of difficult decisions. You decide as a police officer, do I go see the woman who gave me the tip last week or not? Do I pull this car over or not? Do I pull over and talk to these guys on the street corner or not? And what's been happening in Missouri, the FBI calls this the Ferguson effect. What's been happening in Missouri is that because our police officers don't feel like they have a leader who's going to have their back, it makes it much more difficult for them to proactively police.
You talked about ethics, and, yes. And near the end of your campaign, you got a $1.9 million donation from a PAC that we don't know the source of the donation. You also received third-party assistance from the LG PAC, which we don't know the source of that donation. Do those facts kind of chafe against your idea of cleaning up Jefferson City, that you got these huge donations that we don't know the source of?
Well, look, we need to clean up Jefferson City. And Chris Koster, my opponent, who is a corrupt career politician who's been in office for more than 20 years, isn't going to do that. You mentioned the Seals for Truth investment that they made in my campaign. Those were Naval Special Warfare, Navy SEALs, and Special Warfare combatant crewmen who are also part of Naval Special Warfare, who saw what was happening during my campaign. They saw that we were being attacked. They saw that my military record was being attacked. They also saw, by the way, that the Democrat Governors Association, Chris Koster, and the Barack Obama political machine spent over.
That's
I'm sorry,
fair.
Go ahead,
that's Jason. Fair, yeah. Because they also did kind of a similar thing where they made a pack and, you know, but continue.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, as I was saying, it was the Barack Obama political machine, the Democrat Governors Association, and Chris Koster, who came in at the end of the election and spent $1 million against me and our campaign in the Republican primary. Now, we've seen this happen in Missouri before, and they were doing it because they're trying to rig the election. They were trying to pick their opponent, and obviously it didn't work for them, and we're gonna take the fight to Chris.
Now, on the other side, one could say, well, at least those were public. We know where that money came from. He had to file that they were in-kind contributions. These anonymous contributions that you got, do you expect to get more? And Do you know who the donors were? And if so, who were they?
Look, we know that a lot of Navy SEALs and Special Warfare Combatant Craft crewmen, referred to as SWCC, Naval Special Warfare Personnel, got together and they said, we have to do something to have Eric's back. You might have noticed we had tremendous support from the SEAL community during the election. One of our biggest rallies was with Rob O'Neill. Rob O'Neill, who, you know, American hero, SEAL Team 6 operator, the guy who shot and killed Osama bin Laden. You know, I wear this on my wrist, and it says got your back. And what this comes from, you know, when I was serving as a SEAL overseas in Iraq and my team was hit by a suicide truck bomb, I went to the roof that day to provide security so that the severely injured guys could get CASEVAC'd out. When they ultimately told me that I had to go to the hospital, I turned to a Marine who was up there on the roof with me, Travis Mannion, and I said, hey, Travis, they told me I got to go to the hospital. And he said, go ahead, sir, I've got your back. And that was the last thing that Travis ever said to me, because a couple weeks later, he died defending his fellow Marines. I come from a community where when you see one of your fellow servicemen being attacked, people stood up to support me. And I'm really glad to have so many people in the SEAL community behind me.
So why didn't you turn in a survey to Missouri Right to Life, even though you said during your campaign you're opposed to abortion rights and you're opposed to embryonic stem cell research? I'm curious what the hang-up was there.
Jason, I'm pro-life, and I believe that it's really important that we defend every life. I believe that it's important that we defend the lives of the unborn. And my pro-life commitment is demonstrated not by, you know, filling out surveys or by what, you know, a politician will talk about, but by the things that I've actually done. You know, and I've actually been on the ground. I've worked with kids in Cambodia who lost limbs to landmines, kids who were survivors of polio. I worked with worked in one of Mother Teresa's homes for the destitute and dying. And I've seen the tremendous power that comes when we make a commitment as leaders to treat every life with dignity. And those are the things that make me pro-life.
Now, there will be, at least at this point, a campaign donation restriction proposal on the ballot. Do you support campaign donation limits or not?
I support what the ethics program that we've laid out, and that is that we need to ban all gifts from lobbyists. We need to close the revolving door between legislators and special interests. We need to put in place term limits for every statewide office holder. I think we need to do those things first before we look at campaign finance, because I've never been involved in politics before. I've never run for office before, but we have seen that there is ways for money to flow into the system, and I'd like to see a system where we first take on the corruption in Jefferson City and then turn to address campaign finance.
Now, before you, I know in another debate you said you were opposed to the Raise Your Hands for Kids tobacco tax initiative. You're not going to be for the other one for transportation either, I would imagine. Is that fair to say?
I don't think that we should be raising taxes on the people of Missouri until, you know, we have to have a government that starts to live within its means. We've got a $27 billion budget. And when we've got liberal big spending politicians like Chris Koster, who've been in office all of this time, looking at a $27 billion budget. And when you look through that entire budget, you know, you talk about specifics, you know, they don't put any performance metrics in the budget so that you can actually show the people of Missouri what you get for the money that's been spent. And we need to demonstrate that we're going to take responsibility and insist on results and accountability. And when I'm governor, that's what we're going to do.
Do you think that the presidential contest will have any sort of impact on the governor's race?
You know, I don't really know. I know that lots of, you know, pundits and prognosticators will kind of talk about that. What I know is that what we can control is what's happening in the governor's race. And we know, we've found every single time we go out and we have the opportunity to make the case to the people of Missouri, they're coming on board. They're joining our campaign. Because again, look, I'm a small business owner. I've done humanitarian work around the world. People like to have a leader who's been willing to go to the front lines, get results for people. And the contrast is really clear. Chris Koster is a lawyer who concentrates on words and arguments. I'm a leader who concentrates on actions and results. Chris Koster is a career politician who spent his life, you know, creating problems. I've spent my life solving problems. Chris Koster is a guy who spent a tremendous amount of time actually hurting people through his policies. I've spent my time working with people, getting results for them and their families. And that's the contrast that's going to win this race.
GOP gubernatorial candidate Eric Greitens with political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum. We have extended an invitation to Democratic candidate Chris Koster for a similar discussion, and we are awaiting his response. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.